Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace.
Ron Allen, if I said that name and you see his picture, do you know who he is? Rod was a member of the 1984 World Champion Detroit Tigers. He also spent 3 years playing in Japan and was a hitting coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Currently, he's in his 10th season as color commentator and analyst on Fox Sports Detroit's baseball telecast. And if you happen to have cable in this area, you may have seen Rod Allen recently in some Ace Hardware commercials. Using some of the phrases that he's coined during his telecasts. For example, when someone hits a long home run, Rod likes to say, "That boy is country strong." If a player gets multiple hits or makes multiple great plays in the same game, he likes to say, "Stop it." But my personal favorite is when a player does something exceptional at a key point in the game, like our center fielder's diving catch the other day to save the game, he would say, "I see ya. I see ya, Austin Jackson, I see ya." Now, Rod Allen's 35 years in professional baseball may qualify him to say, "I see ya," about a player from the broadcast booth. But while God looks down from heaven, he can say, "I see you," to all the inhabitants of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. I ask, Lord, that as we worship you now through the reading and the teaching of your word, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds, and that today we will not be hearers of the word only, but doers also, and that we would go from this place being reminded and challenged not only of your love for us, but of our relationship to you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. A few weeks back, James was sharing during the offering time about Psalm 33, that he had come across verse 13 in his personal Bible reading. And he was talking about how that verse spoke to him. But as I looked at that verse, I was struck with the simplicity of it, but also the enormity of it as well. Let's take a look at Psalm 33, 12 through 15, and see what God will teach us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. I wonder if that impresses you the way that it does me. I'd like to think about that for a few minutes today. From heaven, the Lord looks down. Okay. Well, so God's looking down. Who's God? You know, there are people who who don't acknowledge God. And in fact, the only time that they even say the word God is when they're cursing. And it's not a term of endearment. They're really upset with somebody and they're using God's name in a very harsh way. And I think sometimes even as Christians, we don't always understand or fathom who or what God is. Now, we're not just talking about some guy sitting in the parking lot at Kroger, waiting for his wife to come out of the store, and he's sitting there running the air conditioner, people watching. Ever see guys like that? You probably saw me do that. Because that's what I do. My wife goes in the store, I sit in the car. If it's a breezy day, I'll put the windows down and I'll just sit there and I'll watch people in and out of the store. You can learn a lot about people just by watching them. Go some busy place sometime, sit down and don't draw any attention to yourself. Just sit there and watch them. Watch how they walk, listen to how they talk, see how they interact with each other or don't interact with each other. It's very interesting. But we're talking about God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God said, "Let there be sky." There was. God said, "Let there be land." There it was. God said, "Let there be vegetation." There was vegetation. God said, "Let there be lights in the sky." These things are hot. These lights in the sky back here. "Let there be lights in the sky." And there were stars, the sun, the moon. God said, "Let there be fish and birds." And there they were. God said, "Let there be animals on land." There they were. God said, "Let us create man in our own image." And he did. I mean, God said, and there it was. That's pretty powerful. When's the last time you said something, even to your kids, and it happened? Maybe especially to your kids. Now, we raised four girls. I'm going to have fun with this. Three girls, three daughters, and a son. And now we got granddaughters. And I wish I could count the times that I said, and they did. But it happens so rarely, don't even know if I need my fingers. But God said it, and there it was. Boom. Revelation 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and is to come. In the beginning was God." He's always been. Not only was he, but he is. And not only is he, but because he sent Christ, and Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, that we could all have eternal life, have salvation and the hope of eternal life, not only was he or is he, but he still is to come again. He is the Almighty. The interesting thing is that God had the first say. He said, "Let there be." And according to Romans 14, 11 through 12, he'll have the last say too. "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything that is has its existence because of God. He is the first, he is the last, and he is the ultimate authority. Here's where people have a problem with God. They don't mind coming to God when they have a problem. Have you ever heard the saying, there are no atheists in foxholes? You know what that means, right? I mean, this person thinks they're about to die. All of a sudden, they may their whole entire life have said there is no God, but all of a sudden now, they're a believer. I believe in God. People don't mind coming to God when they have a problem. Sometimes I believe that people, sometimes possibly even Christians, think God is like a genie lamp. You know, you just got to rub it. And because God is love, he'll give you whatever you ask for. But he's better than a genie lamp because he doesn't limit you just to three wishes. People treat God like that sometimes. I'm in trouble. I need this. I need that. Please, God, help me now. If you help me now, then I will. You know, all of a sudden they're a deal maker with God. But the problem is that that's not what God's all about. Yes, he wants us to come to him with our needs, our requests. We'll talk about that later. Yes, he wants to help us in our time of need. But the reason, if you'll read in Genesis, the reason that God created man, he wanted a relationship with us. He put Adam and Eve in the garden so he would have someone to communion with. You know, it talks about him walking through the garden and talking with Adam and Eve. And then one day he goes walking through the garden, and what happened? Couldn't find them. Why not? Well, they were hiding. Why were they hiding? Because they sinned. And they knew they sinned, and now, oh, you might as well forget that paper back there. You know, Pastor Gary does that so the person back there can know when to turn the slides, gives them a nice outline and stuff. I've got one here. I'll get back to it eventually. But right now, see, they knew they had sinned. And they were hiding from God because they had a new feeling in them. They had guilt. Now, you know, people are saying, there is no God. Do what you want to do. Or there's lots of gods. Just pick one. Take the one you want. Just follow that, you know. Everything will be okay. Just do your own thing. But God says, right here, in Romans, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Not only will they bow before me, but they will confess to God. Each of us will give an account of our life to him. There won't be any atheists on that day either. Because when you stand before God, your maker, and give an account of your life, I don't think that's going to be taken very lightly by anyone. So, you know, when it says that God looks down from heaven, we're talking about the God, not a God. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your spouse, not your relative. God. Creator of the world. the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the final authority. That's who we're talking about. So when God says, or when it's said of God, I see you, that's a pretty big thing. God sees you. So the Lord, this is point two, by the way. I'm back to my notes. So the Lord looks from heaven and sees. God sees. I mean, God is spirit, right? He sees. Well, sure he does. Let's remember what God said in Genesis 1:26. He said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Do you see? I know there are people in the world who are blind. But we have the capacity to see. God created us. In fact, I know that my daughter's boyfriend, who's here with us today, is legally blind. He can see, but not very good. I remember one time I was in college and sitting in class, and professor was writing on the board, and there was a gal in the class that was blind. And he said, without thinking, is there anyone who can't see what I'm writing on the board? She raised her hand from the back because she's blind. Of course, everybody in the class got a big thrill out of it and laughed at it, and the professor was embarrassed because he knew she was in the class. But God sees. We're created in his image. God sees. And if he didn't see, if he was just up there in his celestial house with his feet up on a celestial footstool saying, yep, in 6 days I created the world. Yeah, they're on their own now. Good luck to you. Hope it all turns out all right. That'd be a nasty joke. God is actually paying attention. God is actually up in heaven, looking out from his dwelling place, watching us. He's paying attention. He's on the job. What does it say to us in Exodus chapter 3? Verses 7 through 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now think with me for a minute. How would you like to be Pharaoh with what happened after this? He didn't believe in God. He said, who is this God that I should worship him? Who is he that I should be afraid of him? Well, after 10 plagues, he figured it out. After he lost his own firstborn, he got it. I'm not sure exactly what it is for you, what it was for you, the day that you finally got it. But the day I finally got it, and I realized who God was and what he did for me through Jesus Christ, I couldn't get to the altar fast enough. Because I realized that God didn't just create and then recreate. He created and then he minded the store. He watched his people. He loved them. He created them. He did everything he could to have a relationship with them. The sacrificial system, the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 121, 2 through 4 says, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." What's the longest you've ever gone without sleep? And if you ever tried to go without sleep for any length of time, you realize that eventually your body, your mind starts to do weird things. Your eyes start to see weird things. Your body starts to feel weird things. You get headaches. You're hungry. Just all kinds of stuff. Have you ever known an insomniac? An insomniac is someone who doesn't sleep. They're fidgety people. They're on the edge all the time. They can't sleep. How would you like to not be able to sleep? Not this guy. I'm going to sleep this afternoon. Then I'm going to come back and do this again, and I'm going to go home and go sleep again. I need to sleep. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't even slumber in church, Roy. Not that Roy's slumbering. Roy wouldn't do that. If he did, Jeannie would nudge him. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't even take a nap. Just comprehend that with me for a minute. When I was coaching varsity basketball, I depended on my assistant coaches on game nights to go. That's nasty, isn't it? To go watch other teams play. And then come back and tell me what it is that they like to do on offense and defense so that during our practice sessions before we played them, we could prepare. Do you know that God has never gotten a scouting report on you? Because he's watching you himself. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the ultimate authority in the world, is spending his days, which, by the way, a day is as 1,000 years to him, and he still doesn't take a nap. But the Lord Almighty is paying attention to us. Is that awesome or what? Are we appreciative enough for God's all-powerful and undivided attention? Which one of us wouldn't give whatever we could to have the undivided attention of the most important person to us? And yet, God, we have His undivided attention. Maybe it still hasn't hit you the same way it has me. So let me ask you this. How good is your eyesight? I see some people in here wearing glasses. Now, normally, if I hadn't printed my notes in large print, I'd be using these to read. How good is your vision? I mean, if you went out on your front porch from your dwelling place, and you looked out from your dwelling place, how far could you see? How far, not only how far could you see, but how much of how far you could see could you actually take in with your eyes? Are you following me? Well, fathom this. When God looks from His dwelling place, He sees all the sons of men. I can only see who's in this room. I know there are people elsewhere. Oh, here comes the sweet one. I can't see who's outside this room. See, I told you, here she comes. Here she is. Safe. God sees all of mankind. With words. That's what it says. The Lord looks from His dwelling place and sees all mankind. Think of it this way. Have you ever noticed, say you're watching a baseball game, and the center field camera focuses in on the hitter. What does the rest of everything else look like? It's all blurry, out of focus. If the camera focused on the crowd, then the hitter would be blurry, out of focus. What kind of lens would it take to put on a camera to see all of mankind in focus? Are you picking up on what I'm putting down now? God, the master of the universe, the great I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the ultimate authority, looks out from His dwelling place and sees you. I see you. But He sees all of us at the same time. In focus. You're shaking your head. I can't figure it out either. Because I just have these eyes. Yeah, I can see far away real good, but if it's right up close to me, I got to put something on so I can see it better. That would be one big camera. You do know that, right? I mean, it's not possible. You see, if God sees all mankind and watches all who live on earth, that means He sees us individually and collectively. I mean, He picks us out of the lineup. He knows you by name, the numbers of hairs on your head, no matter how many times you shave it. No matter how many hairs you find on your pillow when you wake up in the morning. He does the math. He knows it. He knows you intimately, inside and out. Your thoughts, your words, your deeds. the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows all about it. Let's look at Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. It's going to be up on the monitor there on the screen. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not too dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Inside and out, no matter where you go, no matter where you are, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're doing, God sees you. Remember what God said to Samuel? When Samuel was looking for the next king to replace Saul, he stood before the sons of Jesse, and they all came and lined up in front of him, all except for David. That's a different story. And he walked down the line, and he looked at these guys, and he saw Eliab. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But in 1 Samuel 16, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his height of his stature, because I rejected him. In other words, he's not your guy. He's not my choice. And he said, because I have rejected him, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Who is God? You know, I have 8 grandchildren, and the older they get, the more they know, and the less they think I know. And they think they know it all. My 53-plus years don't matter. Because, I mean, they're 9. They've been around a while, you know. They got it all figured out. You don't know what you're talking about, Opa. God's not just some celestial know-it-all. He is. He created you. He made you in his own image. And since he made you, he's been watching you, and he's been looking out for you and watching over you and taking care of you. Oh, yeah. God sees the good, the bad, and the ugly in us. Wait. I know what you're thinking. This guy's getting ready to tell me how terrible a person I am. I probably don't have to do that, because when we start realizing that God looks at us, it's just like Adam and Eve. They didn't need anybody to tell them they were naked and they did wrong. They knew. And they knew God wasn't going to be happy, so they hid. Here's the thing. God, knowing the good, the bad, and the ugly about you, could be bad, but could be okay. Might not be all so bad. Well, how can that be? Well, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, when it comes to us that I have sinned against God, God, who created us, made a way that we could come back to him. All is not lost. All you have to do is just be willing to repent and confess your sins to God the Father and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Woohoo! I just, you know, you guys are starting to get used to my voice now. I don't know what you're doing. No. You don't have to perish. You don't have to go down with your sin. God made a way. You know, there are people, we talked about who was God, you know. Well, there are people who think God is so good that everybody gets to heaven. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You ever known anybody that believed that? You know, I did a lot of funerals while I was a pastor. And I can't recall a single funeral I did where there wasn't at least one person in the crowd that didn't think that person was going to heaven. It was in that casket. Reminds me of a story I heard about a preacher in a town, that there were these two boys, James and John, and they were wicked boys. They were bad boys. I mean, they were the, you know, everybody in town knew who they were. They knew what they did. They knew what kind of life they lived. These guys were bad news. One day, James died. And John came to this preacher and asked him to do this service. And the preacher said, well, sure, I'll do the service for James. John says, just one thing. You gotta somehow, during your serving, let the people know that James was a saint. In fact, I'll give you $10,000 if you call him a saint. Well, day came for the funeral, and place was packed because everybody heard about this deal, that this preacher was going to call this guy who lived a life of pure wickedness in public a saint. and it was almost over. And finally, the preacher got around to it, and he said, I tell you, this James, he lived quite a life. But compared to his brother John, he's a saint. See, everybody doesn't get into heaven. Here's the problem. God said, or gave his son, he gave his son, I don't know how a pastor does it without breaking his neck. If you believe in his name, you will not perish but have everlasting life. But people stop there. They don't go on to verse 18. Verse 18 says this. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, I grew up with the understanding that if there's a heaven, there's also a hell. Because God just can't let anybody in heaven. When I worked at Dow Chemical, I had a badge. And that badge actually had two different triggers in it. One trigger in that badge, when I flashed that, would let anybody that worked for Dow Chemical into the building I was going into. But because I worked in human resources, and I worked in an area where there were a lot of personal and confidential information, I had to badge in a second time. And only people who worked in that office could enter that door. You know, you've heard pastors say coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. Anybody can come to church. What's our slogan? Come as you are. You're welcome at Grace. We want you to come here. But if you came here every Sunday from now to the rest of your days, but did not, hear me close, did not confess your sins and repent to God and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not pass go. You go directly Monopoly says jail. God's word says hell. God, the creator of the world, the great I am, the omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, always present God, the one true God, sees us inside and out and loved us so much that while we were yet sinning, yet sinners, he sacrificed Jesus Christ to pay for our soul salvation. This God wants us to bring all our worries, all of our cares, all of our sins, give our entire life to him because he cares about us and is spending his time watching over us from heaven. God himself. What are you going to do about that? What do you say about that? That he made you, and he's watching you, and he's doing everything possible to bring you back to him. so that we can spend eternity together with him in heaven.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.